Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is Minister Anita Womble. I have to apologize. I see some of you have already signed in. I have to apologize. This is going to go along with our subject matter today. I have serious technical problems, and the young lady who is normally on the back end of this, doing all of my technical pieces, wasn't able to join me today. So I've been having a few problems with signing on. And so I started getting really, really anxious. And so today we're going to be talking about prayer and why prayer is so important. And I'm going to be sharing some stories with you, particularly about my day to day and why prayer was important and why you need to have a prayer life before you have a problem. Father God, we are so grateful and so thankful for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your considering us as your children, and for giving us, Lord God, an avenue by which we can come to you, pray, seek your face any way necessary, and you will answer us. Thank you, Lord. We are so appreciative now, Father, as we talk about prayer on World Says, God Says. Be with us, Lord. Let your word shine through. Let us hear from you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and say amen. If you're listening today and you want to sign on, or you want you want to get on the show and ask a question, please call 646-787-8324. Again, that number is 646-787. So we're going to start today, and we're going to be talking about prayer. And our key scripture is going to be coming from the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. It is a scripture that we often hear about. If we've been in church for any time, most of us have heard this scripture quoted. Philippians 4 and 6 says, and I'm reading out of the NIV, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." So this morning I was in Dallas. I had to be in Dallas for business, and I had a really early flight. I had a 7 a.m. flight. If you know anything about Dallas, Texas, you know that traffic can be a little challenging, even that early in the morning. So I got up and got out of my hotel room at 4:30, and everything was going well. And I ended up, I had to stop and get gas for my rental car. And I'm a person who organizes a lot. So I organized everything and put my credit card, my cash, and my boarding pass and all that together in my outer bag pocket. And so when I stopped to get the gas, there was no credit card. My driver's license was gone. The money was gone. The only thing there was my boarding pass. Can I tell you, I panicked. My first and initial reaction was just to panic. So I had to pull myself together. I looked through everything. It was nowhere. So I pulled myself together and I said, okay, I'm going to call the hotel. Maybe I dropped it when I was coming out. And as I began to call, I was like, Lord, I need to make this flight. And I will not be able to make this flight if I have to go back to the hotel, because the hotel was at least 30 minutes from where I was at that moment. I went ahead and I got out the car and began to call the hotel. And the Holy Spirit said, go around to the passenger side and open the door. Sure enough, I opened the door, the credit card, the money, and my driver's license had slid out of the outer pocket and landed between the door and the seat. Can I tell you how relieved I was? So I went ahead and got the gas, headed to the airport, got to the airport. Everything was looking good. Again, I had a 7 a.m. flight, and I got to the airport around 5:30. Walked into the terminal, and it was bedlam. No one knew you know, you had to go to the kiosk to get your tag if you were going to be checking a bag, and you had to get in another line to give the bag to the person there. I have pre-checked because of, you know, when I fly, they had not tagged my boarding pass as pre-checked, and the line to get through the system, the line to get through security was, I can't even tell you how long. It was out of the area where it belonged and sneaking down the hallway. And there was, and so I went and got in line, and I was in line from 5:30 to 6:15, and there was no way, and my flight boarded at 6:30, and I was nowhere near the front of the line. And so I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm going to really need you, Father, to do something, or I'm going to miss my flight. So there was one of the TSA agents, and she began to just go up and down the line, and there were people just being ugly to her and nasty to her, and so and mad at her, and so she had something to do with what TSA was doing at the front of the line. And so she and I began to talk, and I was telling her, I said, you know, I just don't think I'm going to make my flight. Hopefully I am far enough back in line where I can just get to one of the agents and they can rebook me on the next flight out. And so we're just having this conversation, and she said, well, let me see your boarding pass again. So I gave it to her, and she said, oh, your priority. You go over here. And because of that, I made my flight. When I got to my gate, they were boarding my group, and so I made my flight. But isn't it a tendency of all of us, when things don't go our way, when things aren't looking like they should look, when things aren't happening the way we think they should or the way we plan them, for those people who are like me, who are over planners, when they don't happen the way we think they should, aren't we people who end up getting anxious? And we end up getting concerned. And we forget who we are and whose we are. And I believe that is why Paul opened this passage of scripture by saying, do not be anxious about anything. Because anxiety and worry, being overly concerned, being stressed, is one of our immediate human responses. And there are people who will say to you, oh, you know, if you're going to worry, don't pray, and if you're going to pray, don't worry. And while that's cute, is not necessarily how things work. Because in our real lives, when we look at what we know we see in the reality of life, we don't necessarily see what we need to happen in our day or in our life. When you are looking at your paycheck and your paycheck amount does not match how much you need to pay your bills, anxiety and worry is our initial response because we are human. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care how holy you think you are. As long as we are in these bodies, we are in flesh and blood, anxiety and worry are going to be things we have to worry, we have to battle against in our humanness. And so as I was preparing for this evening, I was like, you know, Lord, I'm going to need somebody to explain what anxiety really means. And he gave it to me this morning sitting at that gas station. That's why you have to be careful what you pray for. Yeah, sitting at that gas station thinking I had lost my credit card and my driver's license and that I was going to have to go back to the hotel, or worse, I had dropped it somewhere and I wasn't going to be able to retrieve it and get on my flight to come home. And so... right then, all the word of God drained out of me. If you had asked me to quote a scripture, I probably couldn't have done it. Right then, in the split second, prayer was not my answer. My answer was panic. Because I knew in the natural what it was going to mean for me to not be able to travel. In a split second, every worst case scenario on me And I felt panicked. My heart rate went up. I got a headache. And it took a minute to back down emotionally and say, okay, what's my first step? My first step is to pray. And that's what Paul goes on in the scripture. After he tells us not to be anxious, he says, but in everything by prayer. In other words, no matter where you are, even in the height of your panic, in the height of your anxiety, in the height of your humanness, pray. Prayer will then help us refocus and come back to a level of emotional and mental stability so that we can think. Prayer will help to center us so that we're not making ourselves crazy, and it will help center us so that we can then work to be about making good decisions based on truth, not facts. The world gives us facts. God gives us truth. And so when we can focus ourselves and have our faculties about us, then we can begin to make decisions based on truth. And that is when I was able to hear from God, because I had already called the hotel to ask the woman to see if I had dropped anything in the lobby, to see if I had dropped anything going down the hallway from my hotel room. I was already preparing for the fact of not having the materials I needed. But the truth was, I only spoken to me when, after I prayed and I allowed the Holy Spirit to speak the truth about my situation. And the situation and the truth was, everything I needed was already right there. And that's what happens to a lot of us. We get anxious, worried, overly concerned. We get mentally and emotionally spun up. And then we can't hear from God. And we forget to pray. We forget the importance of having that conversation with God. We forget to stop and let him speak truth to us. And just imagine if at that moment I'd stayed spun up and I swung my car around, drove that 30, 40 minutes to the hotel just to open the door and find that what I needed was already in me, was already with me. That's why it's so important to pray. And then he goes on and says, and pray, but in everything with prayer, by prayer and supplication. What is supplication? Supplication is specific request. In other words, this morning I made a specific request. Lord, I need to find my driver's license, my credit card, and my money. I need to find it. If I can't find it, I need the woman at the hotel to have found it, because I'm going to need these pieces in order to continue my travel. Whether later or now, I'm going to need these pieces. That was my supplication. That was my specific prayer, because I needed, that was specifically what I needed. Now, some people will tell you, oh, you have to have a special formula to pray. You have to pray the way Jesus prayed. There were no driver's license when Jesus was living on earth. There were no credit cards when Jesus was living on earth. There were no boarding passes because there were no planes. So I can't pray the way Jesus prayed. There is no special formula for prayer. The Bible teaches us right here in Philippians 4 and 6, but in everything, pray with supplication, with specific requests. What do you need God to do for you? If you have time, and you want to pray, what we used to say, you pray and you thank God first, you praise, you glorify, you then ask for forgiveness, you make your request, You give God more praise, you believe, and you close. I mean, that is a formula that a lot of people use, and that's great and wonderful. But at 5 o'clock in the morning, at the side of a gas station, trying to get gas for a rental car so I can get to the airport and make my flight, I didn't have time for any of that. I simply needed God to know and understand. I needed his help. I needed his help right then and what I needed his help with. So is there a special formula in order to get your prayer through to God? No, there is no special formula. What God wants is a contrite heart. In John 15:7, he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He didn't say you had to ask a specific way or a certain way or a certain kind of thing had to be said out of your mouth. No, he said, if you abide in me, this is Jesus talking, if you live in me and if my word lives in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It is really just that simple. There are some people who want to make prayer this huge, gigantic, lofty thing that you have to do a certain way. No. Jesus made prayer really simple. If you are in me, in other words, if you have accepted my salvation, if you have proclaimed me as being the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, buried, rose, and coming again, if you believe that you are a sinner saved by grace and I am that grace that by which you were saved, if you believe that, then you are in me because I have saved you and justified you by faith. Then you are in me, and if my word abides in you, in other words, Jesus recognizes himself. Because the Bible says in the book of John, the first chapter, the 14th verse, that the word became flesh and manifested itself among men. So that means that Jesus is the word and the word is Jesus. So what is Jesus saying here in John 15? He is saying, if you've accepted me as Savior and you are now living in me and you are allowing me to live in you, by the word, by my word, by me being in the form of the word of God. And what is the word of God? The Bible. Does it make any difference what translation you use? No, as long as it's the unadulterated word of God. I tell people all the time, use a form of the Bible that you can read. Whatever you can read, that's what you use. I will probably never use King James unless I have to. Unless I'm ministering somewhere that makes me use the King James, I don't use it because King James is not how I speak. NIV, that's what I use. Does that make me less of a Christian? Nope. Does that make me something? Does that mean something else? Nope. All it means is that I found a version of Scripture that I am willing to use and do use and operate by the Word. So with that being the case, according to Jesus, if I'm in him and he's in me and his word lives in me, I can ask whatever I want and I will, and it will be done for me. So if that's the case, then when I ask God for something, where is the worry and the concern? Where is the anxiety? Because he's already made a promise that too many of us don't rest on. If you pray, whatever you ask for, you can have. That's a promise from God. So if God is promising that if we are saved, and that I need you to understand that first and foremost, if you are saved and you have been brought into the body of Christ by your belief in Jesus Christ, you can ask anything in prayer. And Jesus says, and it will be done for you. When the Bible says, and so I need us to understand, prayer is not just about throwing up some words. prayer is about reminding God of, number one, your relationship with him. You are in him and he is in you. And two, reminding him of his promises to you. His promises that will give you what you need in the midst of what would normally cause people to be anxious. So there are other people who then say, you know, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, what does that really mean? It means when you, does that mean that when you're driving down the street, you should pray? Yes, if it's appropriate. I'm not talking about you going into deep prayer and you are going into the Holy Spirit and you're speaking in tongues with your eyes closed. No, you can't do that and drive. When it says pray without ceasing, does that mean you get into your office and you start praying and you go into tongues and you scare everybody in your office? No, that is not what that means. Pray without ceasing means that when you go in your office, before you even begin your day, you pray over your work, you pray over yourself. It can be silent. It doesn't have to be out loud. It may be that somebody has given you something at your work, a project, and you need help. You begin to pray. Lord, I have this project. I need it done. They've given it to me. Let me show your glory in the midst of this. Give me what I need to give you the glory in this project. And then you go about your business. But what it means is that when you encounter anything, when you are dealing with anything, when you are faced with anything, you pray about it. Before you, if possible, before you go into it. Sometimes that's not possible. I did not have time to pray about my credit card, my driver's license, and my money before it hit, because I didn't know it was going to be an issue. I thought I had planned well enough to deal with it beforehand. But once I realized that I needed, there was something else I needed, the prayer was necessary. And not only was the prayer necessary, but the prayer, that's why I had to go into the prayer to deal with what was going on right then. So, we can go on about prayer and the importance thereof. And so as I went on with my day, it is amazing to me. It really is. It is amazing to me how God can take a normal day, answer your prayer, not the way you want. Because some people say, well, how do you know God has answered your prayer? Did you get what you wanted? It's not that you got it the way you thought you were going to get it. It's that you got what you said or what you needed from God. When I ask God to give me some good examples about not being anxious, praying without ceasing, if you had to have a formula when you pray, and all of those pieces for this evening's blog talk, believe me, I did not think about what I went through as the solution for those problems. But they were. So we don't get to tell God how to bring about our blessing. We don't get to tell God how to answer. Our goal is to tell him what it is we need, being specific, and then thank him for the answer, whatever that answer is. Going back to Philippians 4:6, he says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We should thank God for the answer before we get it. Are we thanking him for going through the hardship? Not necessarily, but we are thanking him because we believe that he is going to answer us. So we are thanking him in advance for the answer to the prayer, the specific prayer that we are praying to get what it is we want or need to fulfill it is we have in front of us. Was I thanking God for losing my credit card and stuff this morning? Absolutely not. But I was thanking him for making sure that it was all going to be taken care of. Did I thank him for, once I stopped long enough and I got on my plane and began to pray and thank him for my morning, and I realized he had given me what I asked for, which was examples of anxiety and praying with supplications and praying without ceasing and teaching me the formula and all those pieces. And I realized he had met every need, every request I made of him about this blog show. And so once I realized that, I began to thank him during my prayer. Did I like the way he did it? No. But he didn't ask me to like the way he did it. He simply says, ask and you shall receive. I received what I wanted. And really, in hindsight, now that I'm out of it and I'm home, there was not a better way for him to exhibit what all of this really means than what he did this morning. So sometimes we may pray, and we may not get what we want right away. Stop praying, or should we continue to pray? Well, according to Scripture in Matthew that says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Well, faith is an ongoing and continuous place of action. It's not sitting back and just waiting for something to happen. Place of doing what God has told us to do. It's a place of being about taking care of what God has told us to do, even when we don't see how it's going to play out on our behalf. So, in Matthew 7:7, the word says, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Well, if you take that back to the Greek, it says this, ask and keep on asking until it is given to you. Seek and keep on seeking until you find what it is you're looking for. Knock and keep on knocking until the door is open for you. In other words, if prayer is the vehicle by which we make our request, Jesus was saying, keep asking until you receive what you've asked for. But that doesn't mean that you stop working while you're asking. Because asking is a verb. You have to talk. You have to continue to ask. You have to continue to go after what it is you're asking for. Seeking is a verb. You have to keep looking. You have to keep moving things around. You have to keep in motion, seeking what it is you want. Knocking is a verb. Hallelujah. You keep knocking. You keep knocking at the door. You keep going after what it is you want. So in other words, what is Jesus saying? You pray and you ask and you seek my face and you keep coming after me until you get the answer that you need. Because, again, we can go back to the scripture in John that says, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So if you keep on knocking, if you keep on asking, and you keep on seeking, and you keep on knocking, what you're asking for will be given to you. Then I had another question that came up, and a young lady asked, what do we do while we're waiting for an answer? Let me tell you, that is one of the best questions. Because what ends up happening so many times is that people ask, they may ask for, some stuff may take years for the entire answer to come. My husband and I had a season, it took 7 years, the year of completion, 7 years for the whole answer of what we needed to come forth. Now, in 7 years, we didn't get to stop living. We didn't get to stop doing. We still had to deal with life in the midst of waiting for the answer to come. So what do you do while you're waiting? If you're waiting 7 minutes, 7 hours, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, 7 years, it doesn't make any difference. However long it takes for the answer to come, you continue to pray. You continue to obey. The very last thing God told you to do until he tells you to do something else. You continue to seek after God. You continue to press after God. You continue to knock on heaven's doors, if you will, and you continue to do what God has asked you to do. One of my friends came to me. She said, you know, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and God hasn't answered my prayer, and now he's telling me he wants me to do this over here and do that over there. I'm not sure what to do because I'm waiting. I said, well, if you're waiting, telling you to do something else, you need to do what God has told you to do even while you're waiting, because you can't hold God hostage. You can't tell God, well, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do till you do what I want you to do. That's not how this works. Because what the other thing that we sometimes forget, again, we don't get to tell God how to answer our prayers. So when God is telling you to do something, even while you're waiting on something else, your prayers may be answered in the midst of your being obedient to what he's told you to do right now. And that makes me think of Jairus, the synagogue official, who went to Jesus because his daughter was sick and near death. And Jairus needed Jesus to help him to come and heal his daughter. And when Jesus was going to go with him, he got waylaid by the woman with the issue of blood. And the story is found in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, and it's verses like 40 through, I'll say, 55, 56. And so when Jesus started dealing with the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus, even though he had gotten there first, and he was a man, and he was a synagogue leader, and he and the woman should not have been out in public because she was bleeding. And in those days, if a woman was bleeding, she was not supposed to go out in public because she was considered unclean. So here's Jairus in the right, but he's watching someone else get their blessing before him. But it was in the waiting that Jairus not only got the blessing that he came for, but he got even more than that. Because in case you don't know the story, Jairus waits. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't do like many of us. He doesn't get mad at Jesus and stomp away. He doesn't sulk and insult Jesus. He doesn't figure that his problem isn't big enough, that Jesus isn't going to handle it and leave without getting his answer. He waits there and waits until Jesus is done dealing with the woman with the issue of blood. And then Jesus says, and then they come and tell Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. But then Jesus says to him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. So Jesus then leaves and goes with Jairus to the house. They have professional mourners and professional wailers. So the professional mourners were there, crying and wailing and rending their clothes and sackcloth and ashes and the whole nine yards. And Jesus says to Jairus, don't weep. She's not dead, but she's asleep. So not only, so Jairus waited patiently, but actively. He didn't go away. He kept seeking. He stayed right there doing the very last thing he knew to do until Jesus told him to do something else. And then when they got to the house, they got the word that the little girl had died. Jesus told them not to worry. And here's how you knew that Jairus was operating in faith. Jairus did not say, well, Jesus, she's dead. What do you mean, don't worry? There's no sense in you coming. No, Jairus still did what Jesus told him to do. Jairus did not stop doing what Jesus told him to do, not even when he got to the house and saw the professional mourners. When Jesus got to the house and he saw the professional mourners, he and Jairus went in with Peter and John and James to the young lady, and she got up. So not only did Jairus get his daughter healed, but he got to see the miraculous power of Jesus raising someone from the dead that he would not have seen had he not waited for Jesus to do what Jesus had already promised he was going to do. You see, that's why when you ask me, what do you do while you're waiting for an answer? You continue to do the very last thing God told you to do until he tells you to do something else. And then when he tells you to do something else, even while you're waiting for your prayer or your request to be answered, you do what he tells you to do. Because just like Jairus, not only did he see his daughter healed, but he saw her raised from the dead. Can you imagine that, how that raised Jairus' faith in Jesus? Here is this man who is the leader of the synagogue. He is a leader in the Jewish community. And he went to the Messiah, even though his counterparts, his colleagues, would have told him he was crazy because they did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. So he ignored them out front, went to the man who he knew could do what he needed him to do, sought him, knocked on the door, stayed there patiently, waited for him to do what he said he was going to do, and not only did he get what he needed, but he got more than he bargained for. That's why prayer is important, and that's why we have to wait for the answer, because just like Jairus, we may end up getting greater than we thought we were going to get. Jairus not only got to know about the greatness of Jesus because he could heal his daughter, but he got to know the actual miraculous power of Jesus by him doing only what God himself could have done. So I have a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to just check in and see if you have any questions, and if you do, then I'll answer those questions, and if not, then we'll move on. We have about 10 more minutes left. Caller, do you have a question? Caller, do you have a question? Good evening. Caller, do you have a question? All right, so that is where we are. And prayer is so important. Putting a prayer life together is communicating with God through Christ. How do you form an intimate relationship with someone? When you start courting someone and someone is coming after you and trying to date you, trying to get to know you, trying to be around you, by communicating. We come into relationship with God through Christ by prayer. And this was one of the reasons I wrote God's Listening Prayer Trilogy, to help people get to have to garner a relationship with God through Christ through prayer. And so if you go to my website, AnitaWomble.com, you can order the books, and you can begin to work on your prayer life with help of a prayer guide, the actual prayers that you can pray every day. There's a prayer journal that will help you write your own prayers. And Pastor Womble and I are people who believe that prayer is more important, is one of the most important facets of our relationship with God through Christ. And in fact, Pastor Womble has had the ability to join us, and I am so glad. Pastor, are you there?
I am here.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. We are talking about prayer. We were talking about, some people had called in and gave questions. Our key scripture was Philippians 4:16, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto the Lord. We talked about, do you have to have a special formula for prayer? We talked about what does it really mean to pray without ceasing? We talked about, there was a question that came in, do we pray once and then stop talking, or do we continue to pray until we get an answer? And we talked about that as well. We talked about asking, keep on asking, knocking, and keep on knocking, and seeking, and keep on seeking. We had a question about what do we do while we wait for an answer, and I used J. Iris as an example. J. Iris was with Jesus, and he had to wait. Even after the woman with the issue of blood came, he still had to wait. But not only did God answer his prayer, not only did Jesus answer his prayer by healing his daughter, but he got to see the greater miracle of having his daughter raised from the dead. So, Pastor, I guess my question to you would be, why do we find it so difficult to carve out time to write?
Well, I think that, in this, in our current environment, with so many things to do, we make the selection. We have to prioritize all things in our life, and we make the selection of what is going to be most important. And we may not look at it that way, but the things that you do, anything that you do that does not put God first, you have prioritized that ahead of God. And so once you do that, then time begins to squeeze on you. And we have to understand that the enemy does not want us to pray. And so there's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be interruptions. Because the enemy does not want us to have this communication with God. He does not want us to have faith. He does not want us to grow stronger. He doesn't want us to hear what God would have for us to say. The enemy will let us pray, but then the distractions will come when we should be patiently waiting for God to answer. And so we're always in spiritual warfare. We need to understand that if we're not willing to pray, then we're not really willing to get the instructions that we need to go on the battlefield every single day. And the enemy doesn't want you to get instructions because he wants to pummel you every single day. So it's warfare. All of it is warfare. And unless we are extremely focused that I am going to get this time in, no matter what happens, I'm going to spend time with God. And that's the way we have to look at it. No matter what, I'm going to set aside this time that I'm going to spend with God. And God will honor our sacrifice to do that. But it's always going to be a challenge. There's always going to be something. And it's always the greater message that's coming wherever you are in your walk. The enemy will up the attack to make sure that you don't get the proper instructions so that you can not only make it through the day but prosper through the day.
So what can you help some of our listeners? What are some ways that they can begin to carve out that time?
You have to say, I'm going to do this. We can carve out time for anything we want, and we do. We carve out time to watch our television shows. We carve out time to watch our sports programs. We carve out time. We carve out time to do anything that we want. But if we're not carving out time to speak with and pray to God, then that is something that we have failed to do. Whether we have to get up earlier, whether we have to sacrifice a meal and spend the time that we would be eating, praying, it's about sacrifice. You have to take something off the table so that you can put God on the table. And it's something that you have to do it. And if you make up your mind, now see, and here's the thing, when we are going through, when there are crucial decisions to be made, when someone is sick, when we are sick, when things aren't going well, all of a sudden we have time to pray. But when things are going well, all of a sudden we don't need to pray anymore because all is good. And so we will have prayed through a struggle. God has given us the victory, and we rest on our laurels. And we back off of praying because other things become more important until the next catastrophe comes. But we have to learn every single day that the enemy is planning a catastrophe for you every single day. So we have to make it the plan, I'm going to talk to God, not only just protecting from the catastrophe, but for what God woke you up to do that day. What do you think it is? He can tell you. How God wants you to bless someone else on that day. So there's so many important factors in getting with God, and we just have to make sure that we understand, Lord, I'm going to get it no matter what. I'm going to get it no matter what. Now, if I told you that if you took another 30 minutes every day to pray, you would be immensely blessed, and money would flow into your bank account, everybody going to be on their knees. But as you were talking about with Jairus, sometimes we have to wait to see what God is doing in our lives. It takes time. You may not see an immediate result, but that doesn't mean that you don't continue to pray. We have to pray. If we had a sense of urgency in our lives every single day that this prayer is going to make a difference every single day, we would do it. And we really have to think about that, because even though you don't see the results, when you pray, it does make a difference whether you see it or not. And so we just have to dedicate ourselves, I'm going to pray. And so my challenge for the listeners, for those who are listening, is do this. Set aside 30 minutes every day, whether you have to set aside 30 minutes, you go sleep 30 minutes less or sleep 30 minutes, however you're going to do that, give 30 minutes to God every single day for a week. And you know, in the books, the prayer books that First Lady has written as a journal, and begin to write down the things that are happening all around you. Begin to write down what God, ask God, open up my eyes, let me see. Open up my ears, let me hear. Make sure that I'm saying the right thing and doing the right thing. Pray to God to help you through every single day. Do it for 30 minutes every single day. This is your challenge, and see if it does not make a difference in your life. I guarantee it will. You worry about what will you hear from God. Pray every single day. I guarantee. And remember, you may not hear a still small voice, but you may see something. God speaks to us in so many different ways, but is related to how we communicate with Him so that He can communicate with us.
We have about 3 more minutes, Pastor, and so I'm going to ask you one more question real quick. What about the listener that says, well, I don't pray because I don't. What if God tells me to do something I don't want to do?
Well, here's a guarantee. Most of the time, God is going to tell you to do something that you don't want to do. That's going to be most of the time. But that only means He's trying to. You know, God stretches us. God takes us to places that we've never been. God does not like us to get into a comfort zone because we get lazy. And so God is going to push us and stretch us and make us uncomfortable, but He has to do that so that we can understand that it's not about us, but it's about Him and His plan. If you're not going to do what God says, including a willingness to be uncomfortable, stop saying in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." Hush up. Skip it. Don't say it. Because once you release it to God's will, He's going to take you to a place that you have to depend on Him, and that is uncomfortable for us because of our human condition. It's always going to be uncomfortable. And so you're thinking, are you going to be obedient or not? You know, that's the question. Are you going to be obedient or not? Do you want to see what God really has in store for you? And it's not in your comfort zone. The blessings are not in your comfort zone. The transformation is not in your comfort zone. It takes molding and making and breaking for you to truly understand and to be what God has called you to be. So now if you're satisfied with who you are and you want to be that forever and a day, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Pastor? Pastor Womble? Well, I'm not sure what happened. We had Pastor, but we're about to pray out. We only have about 45 seconds. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank and praise you and glorify your holy and righteous name. We thank you, Lord God, for this conversation about prayer. We thank you, Lord God, that we can give good, clear understanding to what prayer really is and how important it is. I ask, Lord God, for our listeners and for myself, for Pastor Womble, that we increase our prayer life and we begin to ask, knock, and seek like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father God, I thank you for it. I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank everyone for joining me. God bless you all. Love you with the love of the Lord. And remember, it's about what God says.